Welcome to Buckets in the 503, coming to you from KBPS Studios at Benson High School. Today, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the upcoming Spotlight Invitational and the transfer portal. Here, my co-host, Curtis Williams. Curtis?
Hey, what's going on? This is coming up on our second year of the Spotlight Invitational. This is not something that we really promote on social media. Last year, we did it with no social media. Have basically all the top kids in the state were there. Guys like Jamai Lake was there. Ethan Harris was there from Vancouver. Isaac Bongan, Jalen Atkins, Braden Barron, Mason Breerbauer, Owen Nathan, just to name a few. But what the Spotlight Invitational is, we're capping it at 64 people, invite only. We're not going to do any social media promotion because it's invite only, so there's no reason to promote it. But this will be a showcase for in front of college coaches. And so basically you come in, it's not an AU thing. So this is kids from all different AU programs, all different high schools. Me and they want to put this on together. So like last year we had multiple D2 schools there, like Western Oregon, St. Martin's, Western Washington, Central Washington. We had NAI schools. We had Eastern Arizona. We had a couple of schools from California. We have some other schools there that I can't actually mention by name. We're doing this year. And so if you got an invite, we actually have people involved from different programs. So I got Jordan, who coaches with Players Only. He's going to be one of the coaches. So this is a pro-Oregon thing. If anybody knows me, I'm pro-Oregon basketball, regardless of what high school you go to, what AU program you go to. We invite everybody from all different programs. So I don't want to really mention the names of the kids that are on the list that are coming this year so far, because I don't want anybody to get mad that they didn't get an invite. But what we will say is there will be colleges there from everywhere. Because I know I've seen somebody posted a tweet, a slight shot tweet towards us, talking about no D1s can go there. There's only one D2 in Oregon. And this is a way of having an AU tryout. That is definitely not the case. Most of the kids that are getting invited are 2026 kids, which are kids who won't be playing AU next year. But there will be kids from, so like, for example, last year, Quincy Bias was there. He actually got an offer from Eastern Arizona by coming to this event. And we're talking about a kid that played at a prep school, played on the grind session. He ended up going to Eastern Arizona off of this three-hour event. And so things can happen at this event. Patrick Kilfoy was there last year. When St. Martin's in the middle of recruiting him, they showed up to watch him play. So there'll be a lot of coaches there. This will be something that will be ran. The first hour will be drills, and there will be 2 hours of games. It's not one of those things where you come down, show you can dribble 20 times, lay the ball up. This is going to be a real basketball thing. The coaches are going to be instructed to coach you if it's a real game. All right. Do you have anything you want to add, Nate, on your part of planning this?
Yeah. So, one reason why we put this on, our goal is to put a spotlight on Oregon basketball. We believe that it's growing. It's going to be really good, especially in the coming years. And so we just want to, put an event on. It's a free event on where kids can get more exposure. The more exposure that kids get, the better for Oregon. As we know, we're up here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't have nearly as many colleges on this side. And so we're just trying to do everything in our power to get kids more exposure to be able to play at that next level.
And this is, I pretty much know where everybody in the states, where they're at in the recruiting process and what actual offers they have. So, for example, last year we did not invite Isaac Carr. It didn't make sense for Isaac Carr to come. This year, we're not inviting Jamai Lake and Ethan Harris. It doesn't make sense for them to come. They already have their school situated. They're going to be fine. This is for kids that are on the fringe, borderline. They might have one or two D1 offers, one or two D2 offers. These are kids that are still trying to figure it out. But if you already have 8 to 10 D1 offers, and this is not an event that you even need to come to, so this is basically good event. Last year, we put it together and 8 days we put this event together. We had basically literally almost everybody was there. About 95% of the best players in the state were there. And we had 20 colleges there in an 8-day process. This year, we planned it out a little further out. So if you got an invite, I would strongly encourage you to come. But like, it's a free event. So it's not something that we're going to beg anybody to come to. We're here to help you. We actually lose money on this event, as they won.
Yeah.
So this is just something to help the Oregon community. And You know, I definitely recommend anybody kid. We'll actually, you know, have classes for kids and parents. We'll have a class for the parents to talk about the steps in college recruiting and what role you need to play in that. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this event. It'll be taking place in 2 weeks. So if you did get an invite to this event, I think we already have 52 people confirmed. We're capping it at 64. And so if you do get an invite, I mean, somebody that's involved in this process thinks you have a chance to play in college.
Yeah, worst case scenario, it's a great time to just come out and compete, you know, and test what you've been doing this summer and see how good you've become. We just like seeing kids out there competing and playing, and hopefully, you know, you can get something out of this event.
I got one more thing. If your AAU program coach is telling you not to come, yeah, they're stupid. They're an idiot. I mean, basically, I mean, this is for the whole state, man. We literally have kids from every single program coming, you know, and so that's a red flag because you're going to play in front of everybody. You know, and you're going to be able to compete in front of everybody. And some kids, I mean, I know all the programs. I've seen a lot of them play. And some of these kids haven't played in front of enough college coaches consistently. And so this will give a chance for the whole state to showcase their talents and what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not an AAU recruit event. I'm not, I don't even have an AAU team or anything like that. And I know my son will be at the event to go and play. So
hey, his son plays for Idaho Select. And so he'll be there. But while we're on the topic AAU real quick before we get into the transfer portal, the ideal time periods for AAU, and this is why sometimes high school coaches and AAU aren't a fan of each other. It's a March. For high school, it's March, April, May, July. That's what AAU season is. All right. If you're doing, I don't know, I see people advertising for evaluations in August and September. I mean, I don't know what that is. Like, you go evaluate kids when they're playing with their high school. You don't need to go pay to get evaluated. I mean, I'm not a big fan of some of the stuff that people are doing, but high school, ideal time periods, March, April, May, July. Everything else should be either with their high school in the month of June for summer league, during their high school season, and then also skill development, or going to elite camps in August and September. I mean, I don't know. You have anything to add that you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree with that. I mean, any, you know, if you're looking for an AAU program right now, it's just the wrong time, right? Now it's time to lock into your high school season and try and figure out, you know, what's happening there. And you know, now's not the AAU time. That time has passed going into
the 72 team I had this past year. For example, Robbie Long was starting point guard. He plays football. So if I had tryouts this time last year, he wouldn't be on the team. He'd be at football practice. I didn't even know who Donovan Miller was this time last year. 6'6", two guard, probably ended up going D2. Didn't know who Andrew Haas was. 6'7", kid, goes to Cleveland. Another 6'8", kid from Bellevue. Didn't know who he was this time of year. So it's a lot of time to figure it out. I think sometimes some programs think if they get to the kid first, you know, that means the kid's going to be locked in, man. People quit and change their mind all the time. I've had kids leave programs to come play for me. I've had kids quit playing for me to go play for other programs, you know. So just take your time with it. Don't be out here signing contracts and things like that. If somebody's asking you to sign a contract as a high school kid, run. Yeah. That's my advice to you. You shouldn't be having to sign contracts. Don't nobody own anybody. No shoe companies that have the roster 4 months in advance. You can literally add your name on the roster the same day of the tournament. These are just some things that kids, especially kids that are in middle school going into high school, they don't know the high school scene. Those are a couple red flags you need to look into, man. I mean, and also we talked about in our last episode, the secondary circuits. If you're playing on the secondary circuit, you're not on the circuit. You're not on the real circuit. There's no team in Oregon that's on the top shoe circuit. I know Mike James Elite is coming together in high school. They have a chance to play the 3SSV possibly for a couple age groups. But in the past, we've had secondary Adidas circuit teams, Adidas Gold. We've had secondary Under Armour teams. We've had secondary Nike teams. I mean, trust me, I've done it. We've done it. Me and A1, we did it. Played the Adidas Gold. Yeah. We've had contacts. We almost played on the EYCL 1 year. I mean, I'm not a fan of it. You know, I don't know about you. I mean, it's just not the same thing. I think it's more of a pay-to-play thing, and it's more they usually just take that money to fund the top teams.
Yeah, that not necessarily thing with the secondary circuits for myself. I know it's not something I've ever wanted to really go do. We did it one time. Knew I wasn't going to do it again after that once. You know, I'm a competitive person. I know my son's competitive, and so we like to play against the very best. Just to kind of piggyback off, though, you know, I would strongly encourage people, you know, when selecting a program, you know, if they're trying to make you sign a contract and lock you in, that's not the program for you. You know, there's no reason why a kid shouldn't be able to change his mind or, you know, vet the program first. You know, there's no reason. If they're doing that, chances are, you know, they're not the best program for you. So that's my two cents on that.
Definitely. Let's go and get into the transfer. We're going to talk about last year's transfers. We call it the transfer portal, even though technically there's no transfer portal in high school basketball. But me and Nawan, we're going to get into some of the key 6A and 5A transfers over the past year.
Yeah, so you know, there's been a lot of movement happening over this summer. One of the biggest schools that have probably felt this in all sorts of different directions, you have Central Catholic. They got in some players and lost some players at the same time, and then got in a player and lost a player on the same summer. So it's been a crazy time over there for David Blue trying to figure it out. I know, you know, he'll figure it out, but it got to be a stressful time.
Before we actually get to naming players, when you're transferring schools, make sure you're making your own independent decision. You know, sometimes you can get influenced by other players' parents and things like that. But I mean, everybody's just gonna do the decision that's best for them, you know? So make sure you're making a decision that's you're making your own independent decision. Because some people can convince you to transfer schools. And then you go to the school, and they don't even end up going to the school. You know, they might end up going somewhere else. You know, so everybody's gonna make decisions based on best for them. I've known kids that's gone to three or four high schools, not a big fan of it, but I'm a big fan of kids changing their minds or going to a situation where they can play. I mean, sometimes you go to a school and there's just not room for you to play, but you are good to play for somebody else. You know, so it's, every situation is different. There's no like cookie cutter scenario for when it comes to transferring schools. But one quote I always say is that. As a coach or school, we don't own the kids. You know, the only person that, you know, responsible for those kids are those kids' parents.
No, absolutely. And you know, kids can make their own decisions. You know, I think it makes it exciting when kids move around. It might not be the best thing for them, or it might be a great thing for them. I'm a little bit old school. I try and stick where I'm at and run that course. But nevertheless, you know, everybody has to do their own thing and their own decisions, and what's best for them may not be the same thing that's best for me. I'm definitely a pro-choice guy who believes in people making their own choices. And one guy who made his own choice is top of the 6A board for 2027, the number one player right now in the state, Isaac Bongan, who left the Jesuit Crusaders, helped them get to the championship game last year, was an all-state, excuse me, was an all-tournament player.
First
And,
team.
yeah, first team, was he first team?
Yeah, first team all tournament, the state
Yeah.
tournament.
First team All-State for the tournament honors, actually beat Central Catholic on the way to
Quarterfinals.
in the quarterfinals to get to the championship game, but now decided to take his talents to Central Catholic. Curtis, talk a little bit about Isaac Bongan.
Isaac, dynamic athlete, could probably play multiple sports and get recruited in track, football, and basketball. That was a big wave, was probably one of the biggest. He probably was the first kid to decide to transfer. We actually knew about him transferring in the middle of the season. That kind of made a situation kind of crazy for Jesuit. But we, you know, Isaac really pretty well. I know Isaac really well. He's definitely going to add some athleticism, and he's definitely going to keep Central Catholic at the top of the state championship race with him being there. I mean, Isaac's been ranked in the country, played on the EYBL, and so that's just definitely a key name that's going to be helping Central Catholic reach the top next year.
Yeah, absolutely. A very dynamic player, probably one of the most gifted athletes in the state for a while. Could do whatever sport he wants to and be, you know, one of the top players probably in the nation at whatever he wants to do. Another player that's very dynamic and a great athlete that transferred over to Central Catholic is Malcolm Witherspoon. He's coming from Washington, played out there in Vancouver. He's a high riser, big time athlete, can dunk on people, and a very capable defender, in a growing 3-point threat. Curtis, talk a little bit about Malcolm.
Big fan of Malcolm's game. He's also actually an underrated shooter. I've seen him make seven threes in a game before. So, I mean, he's going to definitely add a lot of defensive toughness, athleticism. You'll see him get highlight dunks and probably go on the best player on other teams' court. So, I mean, Malcolm's just a dynamic athlete, long arms, plays hard, great kid too. Works hard. I mean, so definitely you'll. Malcolm's gonna be a kid where a lot of Oregon people don't know who he is because he went to Mountain View last year, played for JC, and so you'll definitely see his name a lot. You'll see him on Instagram highlights and things like that this year. I mean, I've seen him catch a couple of sideline out of bounds, I mean, baseline out of bounds lobs before. I mean, so Malcolm's definitely a kid. I went to a couple of his games last year when I reached out to him for AAU, and so I mean, I'm definitely excited to see Malcolm and play this year in the Mountain Hood Conference for Central Catholic.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be an exciting player to watch. I think with Malcolm and Isaac, you're going to have a lot of highlights happening for that Central Catholic team.
It was definitely two of the top 10 in the 2027 class.
Most definitely. But with everybody that's coming in, there's people who go out. You can only have so many people playing on the, only 5 people can play on the court at the same time. So some people decided to take their talents out elsewhere. Caden Wilson's a kid who came in during the summer, played Section 7 with him, and now it sounds like the rumor mill is that he's on his way out. Curtis, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Caden Wilson, dynamic athlete, 6'5", can rebound the ball, shoot. And he had a game last year where he had 10 threes. So, I mean, technically, he didn't really ever become a Central Catholic student, so he played Summer League with them, Section 7, Cali Live, and decided to go to California. So he's going to be going to California, high school in California. So good luck to him and his family in the future. We'll definitely still keep an eye out on him. So I guess technically he never was an Oregon high school athlete because he went to Seton Catholic and then now he's going to California.
That is
But
true.
people did think he was going to Central Catholic this year. He ended up changing his mind.
Yeah, which is, their prerogative. Some other kids who decided to take their talents elsewhere and are actually headed to Nelson, the top player in the 2028 Prep Hoops ranking, Carter Lockhart, and another player, Leo. They decided to take their talents over to Nelson, which is going to help them tremendously. Curtis, talk a little bit about Carter Lockhart and his basketball abilities.
I love Carter's game, man. Could shoot the ball, dynamic playmaker, point guard. Know him and his dad pretty well. I mean, Carter probably has the two. When we talk about college offers, I mean, obviously, he has a long way to go, but in Oregon, he has the two best college offers from a level standpoint. He has an offer from the University of San Francisco, and also recently he's picked up an offer from the University of Oregon as a 2028 kid. And so he's definitely the clear front runner for best player in this class. And so him teaming up with Braylon Gaines is going to be that's going to be a dangerous backcourt for the rest of the state. I mean, you got three dynamic backcourts in the state. You got Carter and Braylon. You got Jamai and Junior or Pat Vialba at Tualatin, and then you got Bam Pascal and Robbie Long, or you could say Bam Pascal, Robbie, and Malcolm, or Isaac, for that matter. So those schools probably the best backcourts, and so Carter going to Nelson puts them from a top 6-7 team to one of the championship favorites this year. And so I know him and his family is excited about the move, getting maybe a little bigger role, and so definitely going to take some of the load off of Braylon Gaines.
Yeah, it'll be interesting seeing how Coach Blanks gets those two to mesh together on the court. Carter Lockhart, one of the better leaders, along with Braylon Gaines, and so it'll be interesting to see how those two mesh and how he fits Leo into that scheme as well. He's a dynamic kid, may need a little bit more development, but always, it's always a tough thing for coaches to mesh that development with winning at the same time, and so. It'd be interesting to see how Blanks puts that team together with the added pressure of trying to make it to the Child Center for the first time.
Yeah, Leo. I've been around a lot, Leo, a lot for the last 3 months. Played AU with us. Another 2028 kid, 6'6", long, talented. Definitely has potential to be a D1 kid. So actually played 17U with us and got a couple of dunks. Can shoot threes. Also one of the hardest workers in his class. So, I mean, just like you said, when you're in a situation where it's championship or bust, it's gonna be Blanks has a hard job of implementing the winning and the development at the same time. So we'll see what role Leo plays for Nelson this year, but I know they're definitely excited to have him, as him being one of the top 10 kids in his class.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, one of the big things for them is he's going to have at least 2 years with those guys because they are, sophomores and juniors going into the season.
Three 2028 kids, so him and
Yeah.
Carter both 3 years left.
Yeah, Carter and Leo as 2028 kids with Braylon Gaines as 2027 kids. So you're gonna have a while with that group. And I know they have some young talent, that's in the middle school ranks coming through as well that they're excited about. So, they're gonna be good for a long time, that school. Another guy who transferred over to Southridge, I know Curtis isn't a fan of guys transferring two or three times, but I think Ryder's in and made the right choice in transferring over to Southridge and leaving Central Catholic. Curtis, talk a little bit about Ryder.
As y'all can hear, they want smile through the voice through the radio. He's assistant coach on Southridge's staff. Ryder's 6'9", soft touch power forward. Start off at Catlin Gable his freshman year, then spent 2 years at Central Catholic, and he's going into his senior year at Southridge this year. He's been receiving a lot of D2 NAI interest. He played AU with me this past spring and summer. Soft touch of the rim. I definitely expect Ryder to get a first team all league this year. I don't think there's anybody in the Metro League definitely that can stop him in the post. And so he's just adding a whole new dimension to Southridge and putting them in a top three or four team in the state preseason situation and getting them in a situation where they can make some noise at the Child Center. And so I know Ryder and his family is super excited to be there, played with them all summer league. And yeah, Ryder's been getting in better shape. I mean, he's gonna have a big year this year.
No, absolutely. We expect big things from, he's a big with soft hands, great touch around the rim, and one of the few back to the basket scorers in the 6A, in the whole state. So, you don't see too many guys that have a jump hook that can do it with the left and right hand over each shoulder. Ryder's definitely capable of that. So we are excited to have him on the Southridge team and help us try and make some noise and get back to the Child Center for the third time in a row. Another kid who's transferred and taking his talents. The PIL lost a ton of kids this year.
Sad to see, sad to see.
Yeah, they decided to take their talents elsewhere. But one kid in particular, Sirius Owens, going from Roosevelt over to Clackamas. He was a standout PIL player, averaged 15.6 boards in a block a game, and now he's taking his talents over to Clackamas. Curtis, talk a little bit about Sirius.
Sirius is a dynamic athlete, 6'6", can play multiple positions, can guard multiple positions, receiving some D1, D2 interest right now. He actually was first team all PIL last year on a Roosevelt team that went undefeated in the league. They had three kids on a first team all league, and Sirius hasn't even scratched the surface of how good he could be. And so with him teaming up with RJ and Max at Clackamas, who RJ was first team all league as a sophomore, and Max was second team all league as a sophomore, and probably the toughest league last year. Them adding Sirius is definitely taking their ceiling as a team to another level. I mean, he usually gets multiple dunks a game. I mean, I see my own eyes. He was dunking all over Benson last year. So, I mean, I'm definitely excited to see what Sirius does out there. I know Clack was excited. They haven't had an athlete like him in a while. And so they're definitely catapults Clackamas into a solid top 10 team preseason to compete in the tough Mount Hood League next year.
Yeah, Clackamas should be really good. They have a lot of really good players over there. Another kid that went over there as well is Augie, who transferred over there, and he's a great defensive guy, selfless player who's definitely going to mesh well with that group. Talk about Augie a little bit.
It's probably one of the most underrated transfers. Augie was backup point guard last year at Roosevelt, and he decided to take his talents to Clackamas. And that'll put a lot of the one of those guys that make plays the right way, plays hard defense, makes plays for others. So this will take a lot of the pressure off of Max and RJ with him bringing the ball up the court and getting other people involved. Definitely, they need another ball handler. And I know Augie's excited to go there and looking forward to see how he fits in with Clackamas this year. I mean, you got two Roosevelt kids going to Clackamas. It's definitely going to be a different culture for them. But it may be the toughest that Clackamas needs to compete in the playoffs next year. I know last year they lost in the second round to go to the Child Center to Barlow in a closer game than most people expect. I think they lost by like eight. So you add an Augie and Sirius to that team will definitely give them more, definitely better defensive effort.
No, definitely help on the defensive end. Hopefully Augie helps out with their shot selections over there. And making it to where they value every possession. going into the season. Some out of state transfers that happen. Mr. McCray over at Tualatin transferred in from Millennium High School in Arizona. He's a tough 6'4 rising senior. He has a very muscular physique. He's a great athlete. Has the ability to knock down jumpers and create off the dribble. It seems like that's the type of player that Tualatin has. They have a ton of great guards, and he just adds to that. Curtis, talk a little bit about him.
I think Pratt's name Takeo McCray. I saw him play at Wipka this year, this summer with Tualatin. 6'4", athletic, brings a more dynamic, physical nature to the game. I know Jamai and the junior, a little smaller guards compared to him. So he could dunk it, could shoot it. Great defender, so he's definitely going to add another dimension to Tualatin as they try to make a state championship run. They were already state championship contenders before he got there, and that just makes him a lot deeper and more athletic. And he's definitely going to add. He's actually originally from Portland, went to Grant High School his freshman year, then went to Arizona for a couple years, and now he's back here going to Tualatin.
Yeah, Tualatin is going to be a handful this season. Got to be a preseason top three team, I would assume. Returning a lot of really good players. They were top eight last year, and anytime you have that same backcourt coming back, they're going to be seasoned and ready to go. So looking forward to see what Bubba Lemon does over there with that Tualatin Timberwolves team. Another kid who transferred in, coming from the 4A, now up into the 6A, is Kai Holmes, coming from Marist to Sheldon. Last year he was first team all sky, second team all state in the 4A, up in Sheldon, where he's going to boost the program that graduated some key seniors. While he stands 6'6 and will be expected to contribute inside, the rising senior has tremendous perimeter skills and is going to prove himself to be help out a lot on the offensive end for Sheldon. Curtis, talk a little bit more about Kai Holmes.
Saw Kai Holmes play last week at Portland State, one of their power hours. Athletic kid, can shoot it, dunk it. I mean, he's definitely going to add to Sheldon. I mean, Sheldon last year was one of the most underrated teams that went undefeated in their league. And so him adding to that team right there, they also have some guys coming back. They're going to try to repeat as league champions this year and try to make a deep playoff run. Kai Holmes, athletic kid, one of the biggest sleepers in the state. I mean, not a lot of people really know who he is, especially being out there in Eugene and not really playing any AU locally. Kai Holmes is definitely going to – you're going to hear his name probably have a chance to be one of the preseason player of the years in that league next year. He has a chance to be a first team, or if not player of the year in that league.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing him come up from the 4A to the 6A. And help Sheldon out over there. They generally run a pretty good program, and I know they have a lot of bigs out there that he's going to help out with. Another kid who transferred schools, leaving the Rosemary Anderson Prep School, coming over to Jefferson High School, is Khalil Jackson, a.k.a. KJ, the 6'1 guard, who's one of the few players that played at the Rosemary Anderson Prep School that's from Portland and was an underclassman. I know Rob Small is excited to have him. He's a gritty, tough guard, finishes around the rim pretty well, can shoot it. Curtis, talk a little bit more about KJ's transfer over to Jefferson High School.
I saw KJ play a little bit throughout the summer. KJ was the only underclassman at Rosemary Anderson last year. They had all seniors, and he was a sophomore on the team, but he's been around a lot of high-level basketball for the last 2 years, because he went there his first 2 years. So he's definitely going to be looking to try to take Jeff to the next level, get them in the playoffs, as they missed the playoffs last year. He'll definitely be a contender for a first or second team all-league spot this year. Physical guard, could play defense, looks like a running back out there, can finish above the rim. So that's definitely going to be somebody we're going to have to game plan for at Benson next year. So with him teaming up with Victor Jackson, they're going to try to take Jefferson into the playoff ranks next year.
Nice. Yeah, I know Ross Smaller has to be excited for that, to have some players to build upon for the next couple of years and kind of reset the tone over there at Jefferson High School. Some of the underrated moves that happened, Juma Watley transferring in from Gresham over to Roosevelt, big-time rebounder, should get a lot of playing time over there at Roosevelt. Curtis, talk a little bit about Juma.
Ajuma's a 3-year varsity player at Gresham, lefty, can shoot it, play defense, tough, gritty kid. Transferred to Roosevelt, saw him, we actually played against him this summer. He was starting for them, so he's going to be one of those veteran leaders for Roosevelt, because Roosevelt has a pretty young team this year. They got a couple kids that are probably starting, probably like a freshman, a couple sophomores that will be starting for him. So he's going to be that veteran leader who's been around Oregon high school basketball the last 3-4 years at Gresham, 3 years at Gresham. And so I look for him to make a huge impact for Roosevelt this year, especially as a leader and with his experience, as he's on a team that doesn't have that much experience.
No, most definitely. His experience is definitely going to be needed over there at Roosevelt, as they have some really good, young, talented guys. And now Juma, add to that some little veteran leadership, should be outstanding for Coach Law over there at Roosevelt. Couple people who are leaving the state, three players leaving the state now. You have the Reed brothers leaving Churchill and now going to Owyhee, taking their talents out to Idaho. And then you also have Trey Price, who had an outstanding run last year, Three Rivers Conference first team, led West Lynn to the second round of the Child Center, and he's now taking his talents from West Lynn over to
Matter Day, the big powerhouse private school in California. A huge fan of Trey Price's game. Was a first team All League guy last year, and the Three Rivers helped lead his team to the third place finish in state. Huge fan of his game. Also played for Jalen Green Elite AAU Adidas this past year. He just decided to move and take his talents to California, so he won't be in the state next year. And also the Reed brothers. We like to talk about Idaho Select strikes again. I mean,
Idaho Select. Shout out Idaho Select.
And your kid plays for Idaho Select, be careful. They might not come back. The two Reed brothers, Luke Reed and Ty Reed, this is actually their third high school. Started off at Sheldon, the older one, and then they went to Churchill, and then now they're going to Owyhee in Idaho. Both of them play for the Idaho Select program, following the steps of kids like Bodie. I mean, Bodie went to South Medford for a couple of years, and then went to Idaho to go to the same high school, and now he's at Rice. He went D1 going to Rice. So other Oregon kids have went that same path before, and so they're just the next two to do it, two brothers. So definitely want to keep an eye on them. Good luck for them in their future.
Yeah, Eric, Andy Harrington over in Owyhee does a great job. Won a lot of state championships out there in Idaho. And so we wishing them well. That does it for our 6A transfers. But now we'll get to some of the 5A transfers. As a lot of us know that are in the basketball community, Park Rose made a huge splash in this transfer portal, getting five kids over there. And so one of the stars that's going to go over Park Rose and kind of lead that over there is Fuzzy. He was a standout player at Roosevelt, and he averaged 16 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals a game, was all PIL honors in the first team, and now he gets to lead a very talented Park Rose team. Curtis, talk a little bit about Fuzzy.
Adrian Montague, also known as Fuzzy. Anytime you're on a one-name basis like that, you can just say your nickname and everybody knows who you are, you must be pretty good. So I'm definitely excited about having a game plan for him this year, as he was at Jeff and Roosevelt the last couple of years. Fuzzy, dynamic guard, playmaker, really quick, shifty, great defender, but also a great leader. He was a first team PIL guy, runner up for player of the year last year. And so him going to Park Rose is going to make them a state championship contender, and also probably be one of the favorites for a 5A player of the year next year. And so him going there is a huge addition to Coach Kendrick Williams. They competed this all summer, versus 6A teams. It looked really good. And so he's leading the charge of five kids who transferred from the PIL to go to Park Rose, and so he's the head of the list. And then you also got Keon Gates, also another kid that was first team all league from Grant High School, transferring there. Dynamic, shifty guard, one of the most exciting players to watch. I'd say probably him and Riggy are probably two exciting guards. Riggy from LaSalle are probably the two most exciting guards to just watch on the basketball court. I think you coached Keon 2 years ago. What do you got to say about Keon Gates?
Keon Gates, he's a dynamic scorer. He just has a great feel for the game. You know, a lot of stuff that he does isn't stuff that you teach. You know, you see a lot of kids in the gym with their trainers all the time and working on the cone drills. Well, Keon Gates is not that guy. He's a guy who's just playing off feel and instinct. Last year, he averaged 13 points and 4 rebounds a game with first team all PIL. Super explosive guy. Fun to have around. You know, I know all his teammates always love him, having him around. So I'm excited to see what his growth and development is going to be like next to a leader like Fuzzy, who can kind of put him under his wing and help him on some of the other aspects of the game. A couple other guys who transferred over there from Grant, just like Keon James. Like Keon Gates, you have Keon James, who's going over there, and Varick Hargis going over to Park Rose as well to kind of round out that group. Three guys leaving Grant, going over to Park Rose. Curtis, talk a little bit about Keon James and what you've seen from him and his development.
Keon James is one of those plus-minus guys, man. Usually every time he plays, he has a positive plus-minus, does all the gritty work, sometimes guard post, play in the post, but then also play on the wing. He's just one of those guys that's always going to do the winning work and make impact winning plays. Been around him a lot, been known him since he was in middle school. Played AU with me this past spring and summer, and he's just one of those guys that impacts winning, always plays hard, never got to underestimate how hard he wants to win. So he's probably one of the biggest sleeper pickups that's going to make a huge impact in winning games for Park Rose. And then also Varick, same thing. Varick also came from Grant, athletic kid, can shoot it, dribble it, dunk. And so he's that glue piece for Park Rose that can make impacts and not necessarily at a scoring standpoint. I mean, sometimes he impacts the game and won't even have that many points. And so I know him and his family is excited about the move to Park Rose, getting his change of scenery. They're definitely going to be one of the favorites when we have one of our later episodes about state championship predictions and things like that. They're definitely one of the favorites to come out of the 5A ranks.
No, definitely. Varick Hargis is a Swiss Army knife. He can do a little bit of everything. You know, if you need him to score, you need a rebound, he'll block a shot, he'll get a steal, just does a little bit of everything, and you always need a player like that to help you win games. And the fifth guy that they got, that Park Rose received this year from the PIL, is Muhammad Carter. This is his third school, right, in 3 years. But he is a 6'8", super athletic, will add a dimension to this team that most teams don't have. You know, in the 5A, there is a lot of bigs, but there isn't many bigs as athletic and has just the raw ability that he has. Curtis, talk a little bit about Muhammad Carter's transferring from into Park Rose.
Yeah, Muhammad is a kid that was a second team All-League last year at the PIL at Wales, star of his freshman year at Benson. And so he's looking to get challenged more at Park Rose. He's just one of those kids. I mean, if you had to keep his stat for dunks last year, he probably led the state in dunks, either him or Sirius. That's going to Clackamas. Those two guys probably led the state in dunks last year. So you're going to see a lot of him on Instagram and social media, posterizing people and getting a lot of highlight dunks. And so he's just one of those dynamic athletes that they usually don't see at the 5A level that much. And expect him and Fuzzy to be a dynamic connection for lobs and things like that. And so, I mean, Muhammad's one of those kids that's going to do a lot of damage at Park Rose next year.
Absolutely. You know, those five, you know, Muhammad Carter, Keon Gates, Varick Hargis, Keon James, and Fuzzy, you know, that five is going to be an outstanding group to watch in their development, and that 5A conference as a whole, with Centennial LaSalle coming back as the champions.
Will Smith, Camby.
Yeah.
They got some solid teams in 5A, especially in that league.
Yeah, that league is going to be one to watch. That rivals, you know, some of the best leagues in 6A. So that'll be fun to watch. But speaking of Wilsonville, they also picked up a new transfer coming from Centennial over to Wilsonville in AZ. AZ is kind of new to the state. Last year was his first time in the state of Oregon. But you jump right into Centennial as a varsity player. Contributing as a sophomore with 14.5 points a game and 4 rebounds. I think at the time he was, you know, 6'4". Now he's sounds like he's grown a couple more inches. 6'6", got injured a little bit during the summer, but we expect him to have a healthy recovery going into the season. Curtis, talk a little bit about AZ.
AZ's one of those kids. I met him last summer at the very end. He actually was at the Spotlight Invitational last year. Long, athletic, definitely fits the eye for as a college prospect. Just made huge jumps throughout the season. I mean, I went to the first game when they played Wilsonville. I think he had 1 point. And then the second time they played Wilsonville, he had 35. And so he's just one of those kids that's improved along the year. Definitely excited to see his growth. He's actually the only kid on Centennial last year that was first-team All-League. And so you got a first-team All-League guy transferring to Wilsonville. In the history of Wilsonville and Coach Roach, they definitely have a history of winning. So he's definitely probably going to add to that. I mean, they're probably one of the biggest teams in the state. They got a 6'9 kid, Michael Radcliffe. They got a 6'7 kid, Jonah. They got another 6'6 kid, and then you got him. So, I mean, he could be playing the two or the three for them at 6'6. And so they're definitely going to be long, athletic, and so definitely excited to see where AZ's game goes next year if he makes a huge jump from his sophomore year.
Yeah, excited to see how Roach puts that all together. I'm sure they'll be one of the top favorites over there at the Capital City Classic this year for Wilsonville. So excited to see them and how Coach Roach develops them. As AZ leaves Centennial actually picked up a couple transfers of their own. One from Denmark, Sebastian Larson, perhaps the most intriguing transfer into the 5A this upcoming season. He comes from Denmark, but he is a 6'10 kid, a legit 6'10, you know, the highest that we've seen him play. You know, he's very mobile, runs the floor well, and fairly soft touch around the basket. He comes in here to the United States as a member of the 2027 class. Curtis, talk to us a little bit about Sebastian.
Haven't seen him play live in person yet, just seen a couple of highlights, but he's 6'10", can move, dribble a little bit. And anytime you're 6'10", you're going to make an impact on the game in Oregon. There's not too many people that size. And so him blending in with all the returns that they have last year is also going to make Centennial one of the top five teams in the 5A next year.
Yeah, and another transfer that they received as well is Jamel Baker, making changes his final season of his high school basketball career. He's first time playing outside of the PIL. He's a 6'3 wing, has great length, can score a little bit, and he's an all-around offensive ability. He's going to definitely help Centennial. Curtis, talk about a little bit about Jamel and his development, how you see Demetrius using him over there at Centennial.
Jamil's a slasher, athletic kid. He's, as a sophomore, he went to Benson, got a couple of dunks in games. He's going to be a kid that's definitely going to add more depth and athleticism to Centennial. And I know he's definitely excited to go there to have a bigger role. Last year, he was at Roosevelt. Wasn't a good fit for him, so he's excited to go to Centennial and take them. He already knows a couple of the kids over there. So definitely excited to see how Jamil fits over there and how Centennial puts all their pieces together. Every time you talk to Demetrius, he names like 10, 12 guys. I mean, how he blends his top 7, 8 together is going to be a key for them and keeping everybody happy and things like that.
Yeah, it's always tough with when you have that much talent on a team. You know, I'm always curious to see how coaches blend all that stuff together. That's always one of the tricks of coaching. And so Demetrius over there is going to have his hands full trying to put that team together, but we know he's more than capable of doing that. You know, that does it for all the transfers that we know about in the 5A and 6A divisions. If you know of any more, feel free to reach out to us. But Curtis, you know, one question I have for you is, you know, with all the transfers going on, we know there's a lot of discussion about it. OSA thinking about changing some rules and things. What do you think, if any, rules should be changed about transfer eligibility and why?
I mean, you only get 4 years to play. So, I mean, I am four kids transferring. I'm not four kids transferring, going to three or four different schools, especially when, you know, 97% of kids ain't going to play college basketball anyways. So, I mean, it's a slippery, you know, kind of on both sides. I mean, sometimes kids make wrong decisions on what school they're going to go to from an athletic standpoint. So, I mean, it just depends on I'm against kids transferring, have to sit out a year. I mean, because that things always happen. I don't think that should be a rule. And so, I don't know, maybe they should do it to where you get one transfer pass, and then after that, maybe you got to sit out or you can't transfer again. I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of people behind the scenes trying to change the rules, but I mean, we make a huge deal about it in basketball, and nobody ever talks about it in football. You know, and every year in football, you get 200 kids transfer football, but usually they're going to schools like Lake Oswego, Lake Ridge, Westland, schools like that. But for some reason, we make a huge deal about it, especially in the Black community, when kids are transferring schools. But people do it every year, you know, in other sports, but somehow it's only a big deal in basketball. And so, I mean, I don't know. We don't own the kids. Let the kids make their own decisions. A lot of times people transfer, they make bad decisions anyway. So it's a good life lesson for a kid to, you know, live with your decision. So sometimes it works out, but a lot of times it doesn't work out. And so, you know, I feel like it's a good life lesson for kids to learn from their mistakes or learn from their success plans, you know. So we've all seen times where transfers were good and where transfers ended up not working out for kids, you know. So you just got to do your research on the, you know, just do more research when you're going into high school. But definitely kids should be allowed to transfer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kids should definitely be allowed to transfer and do what they want as long as their parents are on board. You know, my advice would just be to make sure that you're vetting the school properly, right? Not just for the basketball portion of it, but how well they are academically, how the coach interacts with people, talk to some of the former players, and that sort of stuff before you go over and just transfer because you're mad at your situation. You know, do it from a space of a positive environment versus negative and looking to say, hey, I had a bad experience here, so I'm just going to leave. You never know. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes you just have to water where you're at to make it better. But nonetheless, you know, everybody, you know, has the ability to make their own choices, and I'm for that. And I actually think it makes the state more exciting when you have that. You know, all the guys going over to Park Rose, you know, it makes 5A exciting. I know everybody generally watches the 6A and that gets the most pub, but I think this year the 5A is going to get a lot of exposure this year because of those transfers, and that's always a good thing. You know, the more exposure for Oregon basketball, the better.
Yeah, because if you look at Washington, sometimes, a lot of the times, they go to 4A, and so a lot of times, and most of the times in Washington, there's more talent in 3A than there is 4A. I used to live in Louisiana, and a lot of the top players in Louisiana, they went to private schools, and a lot of the private schools were 1A and 2A, as opposed to 5A or 6A. So every state's different. Typically in Oregon, most of the talent is at the highest level, whether it be 6A or when I was in high school, 4A. So, I mean, it just, with the state being more balanced out, I mean, last year at the 5A level, you had a 9 seed and a 7 seed played in the state championship game. So this just adds more to the depth in the 5A conference, and so I'll definitely be at a lot more 5A games this year as I was last year. I wish there was a way we could change it to where the 5A and the 6A playoffs and state championship games weren't at the exact same time. Maybe that's something they can tweak in the future. And then also scheduling. A lot of times the schedules for the following year for basketball, they start putting that together around March, April. And so sometimes I think maybe they need to push that back to maybe June or July because, as you know, teams getting to Les Schwab's and other tournaments and events like that, and they lose half the roster and they're already down for that schedule. So maybe that's another thing they can do. Maybe they can adjust scheduling to doing it later on, especially for the local big tournaments, to see at what schools everybody's going to be at the following year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, scheduling after June, you know, that summer period would be huge because kids move around a lot. And so now you have some kids and some teams in tournaments where they don't have the kids that they thought they have, and you have other people who didn't get into tournaments and they have all the kids now. So, you know, waiting to see how everything shakes out is a big thing, especially in the basketball world. Well, that does it for this podcast. We appreciate you listening to Buckets in the 503.
If you missed any transfers, there's no alerts or ESPN alerts on kids transferring to Oregon high school. This is just that we know of, just off the relationships of people that we know. If we missed any other transfers, definitely leave it in the comments on our Instagram page or on our new X account, and let us know about any other kids who's transferred in the state of Oregon to different levels.
Yeah, and that'll do it for today's episode of Bucks in the 503. Stay grinding, stay ready, and we'll catch you next time with more stories from Oregon high school hoops.